All right. Thank you, Paulina, for putting us on the stream. This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board, calling to order the meeting for Thursday, October 27th, 2022. It is 8:37 p.m. on the East Coast. Marion, could you call the roll, please?
Excuse me. Yes, I will. I'm getting over something. Teresa Allen.
She'll be late. She's handling the polls.
Okay. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Sue Goodwin. Any word on Sue Goodwin? I hear nothing. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Excuse me. Donna Grimes. Any word on Donna Grimes? Okay. Evelia Jones.
Here.
Good. Ali Lexa. Excuse me. Ali Lexa? I hear nothing. Marianne Martinez.
Presente.
Okay, I take that to be here. James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam. Sharon? I hear nothing. Oh, I see something. I'm going to assume Sharon is here because I see
No, her. You have to hear her voice, Marion.
Oh, darn. Sharon, could you unmute, please? Did I hear something? Was that a present?
Yeah.
Good. Aki Tanaka. No, that's my line you're stealing. Aki Tanaka. I'm not hearing.
He'll be late. He's traveling.
And late. Okay. Mark van Landuit. Mark? I hear nothing. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis.
Here.
Good. Susan Young.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Good. Let me go back. Any word on Sue Goodwin? Anybody have any clues? Okay. Donna Grimes. Any clues? Nope, I'm not hearing anything.
Mary, I'm sorry, I couldn't unmute fast enough. Donna's just plain tired from work, so she may come, she may not. I don't know about Sue yet.
Okay. Ali Lexa, any word on Ali?
He said he was in transit to pick up his car.
That's right. He said he'd be running a little late.
Okay, got him as late then. Aki is going to be late. Mark van Landuit, looks like Mark just cruised in.
I am present. I'm here.
Good. Okay.
Bravo, dude.
Stephanie Wells.
Stephanie is on a call right now. She'll join us as soon as she can.
Okay, she will be late. Paulina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Good. Are we expecting Arthur Schwartz, perhaps later?
Yes, probably later.
Okay.
Donna Grimes has arrived.
Thank you. Come on, Donna Grimes.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Got it.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good. And I am here. We have a quorum. Several people will be checking in late.
Hello, Ali Lexa's here.
Gotcha. Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. I'll move on to the next item. which is reading the report out from the closed session of October 20th, 2022, which is the PMB met in closed session to discuss personnel issues, confidential options for dealing with the financial crisis, and a confidential legal report. Okay, now we're on to excused absences. Would someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion to excuse all absences.
Is there a second?
Second.
That was Susan Young and Sharon with the second. Any objections to the motion?
Chair, I object, but I wish to abstain from the vote.
Okay. Any other objections to the motion to excuse those absent?
I object, Donna. Donna,
you object too?
Yes.
Okay.
They give excuses? Do they ask to be excused?
Okay. Well, many of them said they were running late or I don't think we have excuses from everybody. No.
Okay. If they're running late,
I don't object to the ones that are running late. It's the ones that seem not to be present most of the time. That's what I'm abstaining for. Sure.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to do, folks, is move quickly. And so what I'm trying to figure out is, Don, are you still objecting?
It's okay. I'll abstain.
Okay. Okay. So I'll try one more time. Are there any objections to excusing those not present? Hearing none, Marion, could you record two abstentions from that, please?
I did.
Thank you. Okay. That takes us on to identifying timekeepers. I need someone to time people.
I'll do that, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you so much, Heather. And someone to time agenda items.
Thank you, Susan.
Susan Young is volunteering. All right, thank you.
I don't do as good a job as Lawrence, but I'm here.
It's the effort that counts.
You're talking to me? You're talking to me?
All right,
so the next item on the agenda is agenda approval. That's a five-minute item. Okay, let me explain something quickly about the agenda. What we're doing, which is a little bit of a departure from the past, is we're having one meeting that includes both an open and an executive session. And then, but it's just one ginormous meeting. We'll do the open part first. We will, I believe the correct verb is retire to closed session. And then we will rise and report. And it's all just one long meeting. For people who might be listening, the only thing that we will do, we will cut the stream when we go to closed session. When we won't go back on, well, we may, depending on the hour, go back on the stream. But the only thing that we will do, when we come back into open session, it will be just like, we'll read the report out, which we'll also post online and read at the next meeting. And adjourn the meeting. So we won't do any, you know, bona fide business after that. So once the stream gets cut because we've gone into a closed session, there's not really a lot of reason for people to try and time when we'll be back on, open session. Though, if you really wanted to, in principle, the way the agenda is set up is that we would adjourn at midnight. So it would be approximately 5 minutes till midnight that we would go back on the open stream. But just in case people care.
I have a request for information.
Yes, Lawrence, go ahead.
Okay, so go ahead.
What I was going to say is, so what Paulina sent out were two agendas, but they are two versions of the same agenda. One is a public version of the agenda that has placeholder items for the closed session. You know, placeholders for the closed session items, right? And it says something like, and I'll go through it in just a minute. It signals Is it a financial matter? Is it a legal matter? Is it a contractual matter? Blah, 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 right? And some of the things I'll be able to say exactly what they are. Like there will be an ED report in closed session. It will be the executive version of the ED report. Okay. And so really they're the same exact agenda, except that one we can share with the public because it has the placeholders only and doesn't include any motions or, you know, background information on the closed session other than, as I just noted, you know, which category of matter is it? And then the other agenda is the executive version, which, you know, for the directors, you can just follow the executive version through the entire evening. And when we get to the closed session items, you'll see that one of the things I did was I put them in italics, at least on the agenda, and then the motions are at the bottom to the extent that there may or may not be motions. And, you know, so, but they're not part of the public version. So those are the only differences between the two versions of the agenda for one meeting.
I wasn't I raised my hand not to question the agendas, but I raised my hand because I submitted a motion to rescind and replace. Susan wrote an email that she was going to move to postpone. I don't have a problem with postponing that motion. I wrote so to Susan about that. But my question is that our policy is to meet the first Thursday of every month for a regular meeting. And I just want to make sure that that motion and the other motions that have been held back from open session, that they are agendized at the next regular meeting, Chair.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's right. And there are a couple of things that didn't make it onto tonight's agenda because we were, you know, we've got a couple of things we really have to do this evening. And, you know, at the moment, it looks like we'll spend about an hour in open session and then go into closed session. You know, of course, that depends on how many motions to extend we get for the open session part, right? But everything else, and I've got a file that I carefully saved that's got all the stuff that didn't make it onto this evening's agenda.
And then one last thing, Chair.
Sure.
There's a somebody in the Zoom on the phone with just an A.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to explain. That's Ali Lexa.
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, it's okay. It's because my computer got dropped on its head as a baby. And the keyboard has now decided that the letter L doesn't work. And so all I could write for Ali Lexa was A.
Okay.
And maybe by next week, I'll have a new computer and we won't have, and I'll do something with, you know, my poor little child here. But, yes. All right. Okay. So, let me read quickly through, you know, high level what the agenda items are. And then let me point out that when it comes to discussing, like, we'll approve the agenda in open session, but we can't talk about the things that are on the agenda in closed session. So we will have to, we're going to muddle our way through this, folks. But Mr. Tatum has assured me that, you know, it is possible to do it this way. And so we're going to take a crack at, you know, calling it one meeting instead of two separate meetings. So let me run through what the agenda is quickly. Item two is agenda approval. Item three is approved minutes, but we don't have any. Item four is our ED report out in Q&A. Item five is a motion for PMB to meet weekly. Item six is a motion on the KPFK treasurer situation. Item seven is a motion on LSB committees. Item eight is a motion on abstentions and roll call votes, and I'm not sure I've spelled abstentions correctly. Item nine is retire to executive session at a time certain of 9:30 p.m. 10 is an executive session ED report. 11 is an executive session general counsel report. I have the closed version open. Items 12, 13, and 14 are confidential or proprietary matters. I'll have to, I can do it. One is contractual, one is proprietary financial, and one is disciplinary. And then item 15 is a standing thing that we do in closed sessions, discussing what from this session may be shared with LSBs in closed session. Item 16 is developing the report out for kpftx.org and for reading at the next open session. That ends the closed session component. Then we rise and report. When we do that, we read the report out. We come back into open session. We read the report out on the stream, and then we're in principle going to adjourn by a time certain of midnight Eastern time.
Move approval.
Thank you, Susan. Is there a second?
Second, Lawrence.
Thank you, Lawrence. Any further discussion of the agenda now that I've explained what in the world is going on? Marion, I will note that Stephanie is present now.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any, hearing no discussion of the agenda, are there any objections to approving the agenda as drafted? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. All right, so that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is approving minutes, which we don't have any, so we will skip on to the next item, which is the ED report out in Q&A. This is a 15-minute item, and so, you know, what I'm hoping, but there's also, just so that, you know, the directors realize, there's also an ED report out in Q&A in closed session. So, you know, we'll obviously stick to the open session questions here. But Stephanie, would you like to?
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
We had a very vigorous debate in the National Finance Committee about what should and should not be in closed session. And so I forwarded a couple of questions to you, Arthur, Stephanie.
Yeah.
About what could be reported about communications around our current financial situation.
You did. That is correct. Are you asking for answers? We didn't have time to have a conversation, in part because Stephanie was on a phone call, having to do with one of the items related to what we'll talk about in closed session. And so Stephanie, I leave it to your better judgment about what you think can be shared in open session.
Okay. Thank you. All the stations are currently in their fund drive, and they are in the process of winding down their fund drives at the end of the month. I'm sure based upon a lot of the financial concerns that we have right now, there will be an extension or an addition of additional fundraising during the month of November and into December. But I'm very pleased to announce that as of this morning, the KPFT fund drive reached $100,000 in their goal. So that was very good news that the interim general manager and a lot of the volunteer staff that's there and the paid staff as well, we're just very excited to be able to share that, and we thank them for their hard work and their dedication in doing that. I know also at the KPFK station, we have pulled a very large number of donors that are somewhat large in their giving capacity and have given to us this past year or are possibly lapsed donors, but have been dedicated donors to the station for quite some time. And our interim general manager there and working with our membership director has pulled a very robust list from our donor database. And we are going to be dividing that list up amongst staff and programmers and volunteers, and we will be making phone calls. The interim general manager has been doing that already on a regular basis, making phone calls to donors, and it has been very successful in raising those funds that are necessary. As far as the financial issues that we are facing, we still have, cash poor but asset rich. As of today, we have roughly $118,000 of cash on hand. Our aged payables as of today, not counting payments to central services, but just past due bills, are at $1,175,000. Our aged payables, including past due and unpaid central services to both the National Office and the Archives, the total aged payables for that is $2,982,000. So we are facing that issue of being low on cash, but you know, attempting to do everything we possibly can to try to pay our vendors and meet our bills. We did struggle this past pay period quite significantly in attempting to make our payroll and health benefits, and it was very touch and go up until the very last minute. It needed to be, our payroll needed to be funded for this past, for this upcoming pay period. It needed to be funded yesterday. And we just barely squeaked by in making payroll. And we have to thank actually KPFK for allowing us to use some of their revenue to help meet that shortfall. So it was just kind of nice proof that phone calls out to lapsed donors and making that personal touch to our listeners and our supporters, we were very grateful for those phone calls that were made and for income that came in, and very grateful for KPFK for helping get us through this hump. Does anybody have any questions?
No questions for Stephanie?
This is McFadden, I do.
Oh, go ahead, James McFadden.
I just wanted to make sure I heard bumpy 2 million age payables and then basically 3 million. And I wasn't quite sure what the difference between that 3 million and, you know, I'm rounding off. And the 1.2 age payables was?
The aged payables, that was the 1 point, again, all round as well. The aged payables 1.2 are past due bills, up to, well, we have bills, we've been limited to 30, 90, 120 days, and there are obviously some that are past 120 days. That is without payments to central services. So those are just the past due age payables, to our vendors. The total of the 3 million is aged payables plus unpaid central services.
So got it. Total, thank you. That makes sense.
Okay, yeah, and if you want that broken down, the unpaid National Office Central Services to date is 1.5 million. I'm rounding. And unpaid Central Services to our archive is 400,000.
Sure, I have a question, James.
Go ahead, Sagerton.
I just wanted to ask Stephanie, I haven't had a chance to speak to him recently. Do you know Bertold was attempting to get an extension of the $5,000 a month he was getting for the pedestrian safety public service announcements? Was that obtained?
Yes, I believe that was. Again, great work with Linda and Bertold in moving forward with that, and Arthur's connections with that as well. And they're also working on another county, city-based, I don't know if it's city or county, it was skimming through the email this morning, that they're working with another organization that's requesting to do the same thing. And I believe that is also in its final stages. So they're doing a great job in getting sponsorships for a good, you know, for a steady stream of income. We also got a $10,000 grant for the archives from the California Community Foundation. So we were very excited for that, for the archives, and, Mark and his team did a great job working with that, and that is just the beginning of a long-term relationship that we're creating with the California Community Foundation in working toward digitizing our archives. And a lot of that also is working in partnership with USC and trying to move that relationship forward as well.
Beth von Gunten has a question.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to request the figures that you've cited, Stephanie, if you could send those in writing, I'd appreciate it. I follow everything you're saying, but in order to report elsewhere or just keep my own records, I really need to see it in writing. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Last week or the past few weeks, I've been sending it out prior to the meeting, and I didn't this time. I have a spreadsheet in front of me, and I will make sure to email that out to everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what Jim just said, is that the New York City Department of Health, I understand, has also been in contact with the station to do, I guess some of the anti-vaxxers will have a heart attack, COVID booster kind of ads and public service announcements, and we will get paid to do that. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Anything else for Stephanie? All right, moving on to the next item. This is a 5-minute item. This is the motion for PMB to meet weekly. The motion's from Susan Young, but I'll go ahead and read it because I have it right here. Whereas the board's engagement in making critical decisions with urgency is essential given the current financial situation, now therefore be it resolved that the board shall schedule an open meeting with a closed session each Thursday until it determines that weekly meetings are no longer necessary. Can Susan get a second for that motion?
I second.
Thank you, Marianne. Discussion of this motion. Lawrence, go ahead.
I support this. It's obvious. This is very necessary right now. We are at a crossroads, and we need to try to narrow that gap. So it's a motion well taken by me. Thank you, Susan.
Chair, this is James.
Yes, go ahead, Sagerton.
Could you ask Susan to motivate the motion?
Go ahead, Susan.
Sure. Yeah. The way that Pacifica is set up in bylaws and in the employment agreement with the ED is there has to be close, ongoing cooperation and coordination between the two. And it's not always clear what general and the E are to do. Additionally, this board may be called on to make some pretty momentous decisions. And so we need to be aware of those as soon as possible. We need to be apprised as they develop. And if we want to be active partners in working through the current financial situation, we have to be ready to meet regularly.
Any further discussion of the motion?
This is Sean.
This is James.
So I heard Sean first, then Jim Sagerton. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. This board meets pretty regularly as it is. When we have to meet weekly, there has not been a problem in scheduling weekly meetings. I don't see the value of putting out in advance, we're going to meet weekly for X amount of period until we decide not to do that. To me, there's nothing wrong with the way we've been doing it. So I don't see the value of this motion.
Thank you, Sean. Jim Sagerton.
That's interesting, what was just said, because I was going to say we seem to be meeting weekly anyway. And in fact, last year we met practically weekly on a regular basis. So I was thinking, it's funny, I came to the opposite conclusion of Sean's, why not? But I do understand Sean's point. So, as long as we're doing it anyway, I guess, you know, it could go either way. I imagine it would save the chair a lot of time in setting up the weekly meetings. I wonder if she'd like to comment on that.
Well, it would save some time, but I don't think that's paramount here. I'm going to keep going on the stack. Susan, then Beth. Susan?
Yeah, just a quick response. I think that rather than having to make sure that we noticed, have them always noticed, and if a meeting isn't needed, cancel it. And I think I agree with Jim Sagerton, we'll probably end up with the same number of meetings.
Yeah, somebody put my hand down after. I was after Susan.
Oh.
I don't know who's hosting, but anyway. But I could wait to Beth.
Let me just say this. No one can speak a second time until all people.
But hold on. You're not chairing the meeting, Mr. Tatum. With all due respect.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask you,
if that's why you put my hand down, I think
A mistake to put your hand down because I thought you had spoken already, but I'm just asking you now, did you know about that rule?
I do know about that rule, but I also know that the motion was motivated and there's been some different perspectives, and I want to give my perspective.
Yeah, but the rule is...
I think the chair has a discretion to call on me or not, Mr. Taylor.
Well, I just want... Go ahead.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to do. We're just going to... I appreciate all this. We're just going to keep going with the stack as I see it at the moment, and so I'll make sure that Lawrence gets called on. I have Beth and Darlene, then Lawrence. In some ways, I'm not entirely convinced that order matters that much other than when we have to cut off debate. So Beth, then Darlene. Beth?
Thank you. First, I think meeting this frequently, meeting weekly these days is necessary. Second, I like to know ahead of time that that's what we're going to do so that I can plan. And it really helps to plan when we know what's coming up. And third, if we plan now, then we can stake out that time so that others aren't tempted to make use of what might appear to be an open space on the calendar for other extraneous things, because there's that temptation. Pacifica always has so many meetings that if that time isn't staked out, I know we'll have to defend it someplace. So I support this motion. I think it's a good idea. I think it's necessary. Thanks.
Thanks. Beth, then Lawrence. I'm sorry, Darlene, then Lawrence. Darlene?
I just want to add on a little bit to what's already been said, which is I see a lot of back and forth thing about the absolute referencing of when meetings are happening and to the hour, if not the minute, when they were posted. It will be so much of a relief to just put the whole darn schedule out so everybody knows. And if it could, you know, and I don't know if the best thing is to post it as it is today, which is, you know, open and closed, and it's there. Thank you. And I am not happy with weekly meetings. I understand the reason for them. And I agree with, was that just Beth? That if at least I know ahead of that week that Thursday night is tied up, I would appreciate it.
Thanks, Darlene. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to agree with Beth and Darlene. I think it's better to concretize something and to memorialize it and then allow you, Chair, to just post the meetings in advance, and we could all carve out time, and those who could carve out the time could carve out the time. So that's why I'm supporting the motion, and I hope that we could support it without objection. We are in the crossroads right now, so that's why I'm supporting this motion.
McFadden and then Dingman. McFadden?
I'm just giving notice that I'm going to miss November 24th on Thanksgiving, and I'm going to also miss the one that's between Christmas and New Year's.
Thanks,
James. I asked for excused absences for both.
Understood. There may be some cancellations coming up for those days. Jim Dingman.
Yes, no, obviously we have to do this, and frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if we do two in 1 week at some point in the near future, given everything going on, because there's all these motions that have to do, that can be openly discussed, that are just simply piling up. And I frankly think they have to be discharged as fast as possible, because who knows what kind of chaotic situation we're going to face a week from now. Thank you.
Thanks. I suspect we're probably at time on this item, and so
yes, we are.
Thank you. So now what I will do is ask if there are any objections to the motion to meet for the PMB to meet weekly. Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, folks. Next up is and Marion, I will note that Arthur is present now as well.
Yeah, thank you.
The next motion up is from Avelia Jones. It's a motion on the KPFK treasurer situation. This is a 5-minute item on the agenda, Susan. Avelia, how about if I read it and then we'll consider you.
I can read it if you want.
Do you want to read it? Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right. Thank you. Whereas an action taken by the KPFK LSB to remove the treasurer and elect a new treasurer at the October 16th, 2022 local station board meeting did not receive proper notice among other procedural failings. Now, therefore, the Pacific National Board will review the facts in this matter and determine whether this procedure was sufficient or needs to be corrected before a new local station board treasurer for KPFK is recognized. I say I got no notice myself. It happened in a one motion, one replacement, one day move.
Hang on, let's see.
I second.
Thank you.
I second.
Was that Susan?
Yes, that was Susan Young. And before we go to motivation, let me point out that Avelia's motion just says that the PMB will review the facts in the matter and determine whether the procedure was sufficient or needs to be corrected. In other words, we're not making a decision this evening about whether that was the right or wrong decision that the KPFK LSB made, okay? So I just want everybody to, like, we are not debating what exactly happened. We are debating whether we should have whether we should pass this motion that is about us investigating and then obviously later deciding what to do. So with that, Avelia, would you like to add any further motivation to this or?
Well, I would defer to, Susan. She had her hand up there, but I want to say this. Do we want to, as a PNB, set up the potential for further litigation, just getting in the way of the things that are really important? People who feel wronged by procedural failings. Thank you.
Thanks. James McFadden?
Is there any actual result of this motion passed? Is any action, is anybody prevented from being in meetings or anything? Does it restore anything? Does anything happen? That's my number one question. And my number two question would be, well, if we pass this, by the time we've investigated and done everything we need to do, it'd all be remedied by the LSB. And so it kind of becomes a moot point. And I don't know enough about these procedures to know whether that's the case.
So what I will add is, today's October 27th. The next, PMB meeting, assuming that we could, do the investigation and figuring this out and put this on next week's agenda. So that's the, November 3rd meeting. The National Finance Committee does not meet again until November 8th. And so there's no practical effect. Whether we take action or not, other than if we vote on this motion this evening, my understanding is then we would do the fact gathering and then we would, perhaps if we feel like we can get that done by next week, have a motion on the agenda next week, that either says, yes, that was all sufficient what they did and they have a new treasurer, or no, that was not sufficient and here's what the remedy should be. So, I mean, your point's well taken that I don't think it does anything in the short run. That's my response, but go ahead. I have a stack of Susan and Lawrence. Susan?
Yeah, let me address my understanding kind of that situation. And first, I believe, Julie, that we do, and Jim Sagerton can confirm this. I think we will have an NFC meeting November 1. And the NFC addressed whether to seat the incoming, the purported incoming treasurer. We had a 50-50 vote on that. And the person was seated for that meeting, sort of with the understanding that the question would be adjudicated by the PNB when it is. And so I guess my thought is that the NFC vote will hold until there is a decision with the PNB about whether there needs to be any correction in the procedure. And yeah, if the LSB went and ran another election with all of the notices, maybe that cures it.
Thanks. And I stand corrected on NFC meetings. Lawrence, you're up.
Thank you. So, when there has been redress sought, to the PNB, in regards to matters, about the LSB, I have time and time again brought up matters, in regards to LSBs at, KPFT, in regards to LSBs at, KPFA, and I was, gently ruled out of order. It was overreaching. Now, we follow due diligence, and this is, not, an elected, position. It is a volunteer position for somebody that is not elected, in an election. So this is a volunteer treasurer, and she was replaced by a current elected LSB member. Now, the treasurer and the secretary do not have to be elected, by the listeners. They could volunteer, as we all know, it's in the bylaws. But we follow due diligence. We sought the counsel of the parliamentarian. We looked at Robert's rules of order. And we realized that the bylaws trump, for lack of a better word, the bylaws, supersede, that's a better word. The bylaw supersedes Robert's rules of order in this case. So, everything was done in order. We had an election. The person, was removed, and the bylaws also say the person could be removed with cause or without cause. In this case, she was removed, without cause.
Lawrence, your time is up.
Okay. If I could just take 10 more seconds, Chair, real quick. So I encourage my colleagues to vote this motion down. There's no need to overreach. We haven't done it before, and I don't see why this should be a special occasion. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Motion to extend to exhaust the stack.
The stack would be, Beth Von Gutten and then Jim Sagerton.
I second.
Thank you, Lawrence. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of two? Hearing none. Beth, go ahead.
thank you. I just sent out, sorry, am I muted? No, I'm not. Okay.
No.
I just sent out, the resolution as it was passed with the vote, so that people can see for themselves. And it's not surprising. We were told that it would be appealed, so that's not surprising. I did seek counsel all along the way. There was a part of the motion was to stand up an election to replace the treasurer immediately, which was done. And there were questions that were brought up. In the course of that election, we went straight to the new, pro tem chair, now the new chair of our local PNB, replacing Michael Novick, called me immediately. I suggested we call the teller and the parliamentarian, which we did. We consulted. The teller recognized that there was controversy, and therefore he chose to run the election both with, there were three nominees. There was two of whom self-nominated, one of whom was the treasurer who had just been removed. And so he ran the election both with, and took account both with including the treasurer who had been removed and without. And in fact, both counts came out the same. And the winner of both of those counts was the person who was seated as treasurer and who represented the station at the National Finance Committee on Tuesday. Thank you.
Point of order, that is arguing the case.
Yes, thank you. Your point is well taken, Susan.
And, I think we're at time.
I want to make sure,
we're
exhausting the stack. So Jim Staggerton gets to speak, but please, Jim, to the motion that's on the floor, not to, the underlying decision of the KPFK LSB. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that yes, the NFC did seat the individual who was sent to us by the KPFK LSB. And I ruled that was the appropriate thing to do because that's what the bylaws tell us to do. We do not reach out and find the members of that committee. It's not a self-selecting committee. We are sent our members by the PNB for the directors and by the LSBs for the treasurers. And when I got word that the LSB from KPFK had acted, then I felt it was, according to the bylaws, to seat that person. Understanding that there were some who wanted me to rule on whether, you know, there were problems with how it was done and all of that. We didn't have all of those facts on the committee. I myself was aware of some of the arguments on both sides, but the fact is that we are one committee, just like the LSB is a committee, and it really does take the PNB to sort this out, I think. And that's why, even though I think we did the right thing, because the LSB told us, here's the treasurer, I don't think that action has any obviously has no precedential value at the PNB level here. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will just note that I believe that when Jim Staggerton was speaking and he said we meant the National Finance Committee, not we.
Correct. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. I see Avelia's hands up, but she wasn't on the stack that we extended time to cover. So I'm going to go and ask, are there any objections to the motion?
Chair, Lawrence objects.
All right. Marianne, would you go to a vote, please? Thank you.
Okay, and the motion is to hear the KPFK treasurer situation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, is Teresa Allen here yet?
Yes, I am, and Teresa passes.
Okay.
Point of information on this vote.
Go ahead, Beth.
As I just heard it, the question was whether to hear this case, and is there a time stipulated? Is this like to be adjudicated immediately or at a future date? And if what date? And so just to know what we're voting on.
Yeah.
Yeah, point of order.
Yes. Okay, stop. Hang on. I'm going to answer Beth's question. No, not immediately, right? Not this evening. We have to gather the facts and do the investigation, and we will do it at a future time. And obviously the future time we're hoping would be next week, but, you know, it depends on A, first gathering facts and sharing them with people, and B, you know, that we don't have stuff that's more time sensitive, which I would hope we don't, but, you know, I don't control the world, right? So
Chair,
I control next to nothing. Go ahead, Bart.
I believe that if this motion does not prevail, then looking at these so-called facts will be mute. Is that correct?
I think that is correct. That it means we're sort of moving on without an investigation, which would be foolish. Right. Okay. Go ahead, Marianne, take the roll call vote.
Chair, I'm sorry, Chair. That comment was inappropriate. It poisons the well, if you will.
No, I'm sorry. What did I?
You said it will be foolish not to sort of like pass this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No. It would be foolish to make a decision without an investigation. That's the point I made.
I consider that poisoning in the well.
Okay. Point taken. Marion, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Jim Dingaman.
Pass.
Passes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Vanessa, you're muted.
No, I'm sorry, pass.
Oh, we're going to have to do this all over again. Okay, is Sue Goodwin here yet?
Here I am.
And how do you choose to vote?
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray.
I'm going to pass as well right now, sorry.
Oh, my, okay. Donna Grimes. Donna?
Present.
I'm glad you're present. How do you choose to vote? Donna?
Pass.
Passes.
Mm-hmm.
What if they held an election and no one voted?
They are.
Jones.
Yes.
Votes yes. Alexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden.
Abstain.
Abstains. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence?
No.
Votes no. Sean Rhodes.
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, James Sagerton.
Abstain.
Abstains. Sharon Salam.
No.
Votes no. Is Aki Tanaka in yet?
I'm in, but I don't know. I just got in, so I don't know the motion.
Okay. Do I take that to be an abstention or?
Yes.
Yes, it is an abstention.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, abstention, yeah.
Okay, got it. Mark van Landuyt?
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth van Gunten?
Abstain.
Abstains. Egberto Willis?
Abstain.
Did you say abstain?
Yes, abstain.
Okay, abstains. Susan Young?
Yes.
Votes yes. Let's go back. Teresa, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
I vote yes.
Votes yes. Jim Dingaman, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
Abstain.
Abstains. Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
I vote yes as well.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
Yes.
Votes yes. Okay, we have...
Chair, Lawrence wishes to change his vote.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah?
I vote yes.
Lawrence votes yes. Got it. I think we have everybody accounted for. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yes. And 1 no.
I voted no also.
Who was that?
Sharon Salam.
Yes. That's your...
Two people voted no.
And Lawrence voted no, and then he changed his vote.
Oh. Okay.
Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. 12 yes votes and 1 no vote. The motion carries.
All right. That takes us on to the next item on the agenda, which is a motion on LSB committees. And this is a 15-minute item, Susan. Let's see. This is a motion. Oh, I think I failed to write down that it was a motion from Susan Young. Susan, would you like to would you like to read it?
Would you do me a favor and read it for me? I think there are a couple of parts to it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, and I have it right here in front of me. Whereas persons, this is a motion on LSB committee, basically. Right. And if someone could mute Jim Sagerton, that would be great. Whereas persons not affiliated with the community linked to a station enter into local decision-making by joining committees of local station boards that are not their primary affiliation. Now, therefore, be it resolved that only those affiliated with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. For committees that deal with confidential financial and or personnel matters, only local station board delegates for that station may be voting members of the committee, and only delegates of that LSB, PNB directors, and a duly elected and then serving local station board secretary and or local station board treasurer may participate in or hear the proceedings of any executive session. Can Susan get a second for her motion?
I'll second it. This is Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. I see Jim Dingman's hand. Go ahead, Jim, and then Jim Sagerton, but Dingman first.
All right. The phrase, only those affiliated with a particular local station, only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Now, membership is determined by paying $25 to that local station. So somebody could pay $25 and be living in Los Angeles or living in Chicago or living in Houston. So I'm wondering what's the clarification of that. Thank you.
I'll take a crack at that, which is our bylaws do make it clear that you can donate money to multiple stations, but you're considered a member of one and only one station. And so maybe Susan would be interested in entertaining a friendly amendment that changes whereas persons not affiliated with the community to whereas persons not a member of that station.
Sure, anyway, I have an amendment, James.
Hang on, let me just finish my thought there. So the point is, the station of which you are a member is the station to which you last donated, right? And so that's the sense in which you can donate money to all kinds of stations, but if you want to remain a member of the station that's in your community, you have to sort of cure your donation to other stations by making yet another donation to your station. Technically speaking, according to the bylaws. Okay. So we have a little bit of a stack here. I have Sagerton, Goodwin, Sue Goodwin, and then James McFadden. Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize for cutting in.
Did I get a second? Did Susan get a second? Yes. I'm sorry. Keep going.
That's Teresa second. Okay.
That's right. I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Yeah, I think the solution to this immediate dilemma is to insert the words affiliated for voting purposes, the phrase for voting purposes with the station, because you can be a member of any number of stations, but you can only vote at one. And that's kind of cleans up that problem. It doesn't matter. You know, we have people at WBAI who live in Chicago, but they grew up in New York and they're still members and they still listen online. I don't think it's where you live, it's which station you affiliate with for voting purposes. So we just add that prepositional phrase.
I second that amendment.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, so now the discussion is not of the main motion, but the discussion is of Jim Sagerton's amendment. Is there...
Chair, request for information. Can Jim restate it or Marianne? Because I didn't hear it quite clearly.
So everywhere that it says affiliated with the community, affiliated, it would say instead affiliated for voting purposes. So there's a couple of instances of affiliated in there.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. So it would just happen after each and every one of those. Okay, so now, I think Jim Sagerton motivated it, his amendment. So I want to take a stack that's only for discussion of the amendment. So Sue Goodwin, is yours about the amendment or the main motion?
I think it's about the amendment.
Go ahead.
And forgive me, but can you explain in very simple terms what we are voting on? Because I have to admit, I don't get it.
So, what we're voting on basically is that at some LSBs, local committees, you know, whether it's programming, finance, what have you, personnel, what have you, right? Have people who are members of other stations participating as voting members, you know, for a committee.
For a station of which they aren't a part of?
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And so what this would do is say, nope, you have to pick a station and you don't get to, and effectively you can't be on the finance committee for every, all five of the stations, if they would allow that, for example.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so Jim Sagerton's amendment would effectively cure that. So Beth Von Gunten, is yours about Jim's amendment or the underlying motion?
I think it probably applies to both.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Our local committees at KPFK have been in utter chaos for a year and a half as people try to work this out. And that, so I'm familiar with a few aspects of this question. One, how do we check membership at any given point? I mean, people argue over whether people actually attended meetings that they attend, and we have recordings for them. How, before a vote, or when we take attendance at the beginning of a committee, who's the authority, and how do we get that information in a timely manner to challenge someone? And I would point out that, I would ask then to how often can one change? Because those who can afford to donate another $25 ahead of any given vote would have a distinct advantage over those of us who are not in such a position, because there's nothing in this motion to prevent that. And I'm grateful that we're finally addressing this. Because I've been confronted with a lot of this in the last year and a half, I've had the chance to think through some of this and see where, you know, some of the solutions might not be as watertight as what we would hope. I do think that at some point the signal area should come into consideration, but that's another factor. So, how often can you change affiliation? How many times in a year can you change affiliation? By donating again and switching, and how do you verify membership in anyone? So, thank you.
Sure. I don't know how precisely we would verify membership other than, you know, checking with the local station staff. And in principle, one can change one's affiliation, you know, many times through the course of the year. As a listener member, it would mean more donations. So, Heather Gray, then James McFadden. Heather?
Yes, I'm just curious. How many stations can an individual be a member of? Just one or a number, or what can be five? I've seen Susan raising five. You can be a member of all five stations?
You can donate to all five stations, but for purposes of voting, your affiliation is with one.
Is that in the bylaws, Julie?
Yes, that's in the bylaws. And so basically, you can't vote for LSB delegates at all five stations. Even if you make donations to all five stations, you can only vote for LSB delegates for one. And so this is effectively, I think, this motion would extend that to basically serving on committees as well. So
I'm sorry, is that just for 1 year? Could it be for 2 years or what?
No, it's period.
All right. Point of information.
Jim, you're on the stack. I think Susan Young is telling me that we're at five. Oh, are we at time on this? No, you were just
15 minutes, weren't we?
Yeah.
Nine.
Okay. I want to be cognizant of people saying point of information to jump the stack, right? Cause I've got a stack of a whole bunch of people. So, and you're number four on the stack. So, I see McFadden, then Lawrence, then Susan, then Dingman, then Sagerton. So I will get to you, but, James McFadden, go ahead.
I just want to make sure I understand this. It sounds like on a local station board, anyone can join a committee, but does some member joining a committee make them a voting member of a committee? This is the part I don't quite understand. I would assume the only people that are voting members of a committee are members of the local station board, or the delegates. So maybe I've missed something in the bylaws that allows that, and I don't know what that process is. And so that confusion just makes me ask the question, and hopefully somebody can answer it, is can somebody just give an example of where this comes into play? Because, maybe I just don't quite, you know, where it's
Teresa
kind of
Allen,
problem.
I'll give an example.
Well, I was actually going to do that, but anyway.
Yeah, hang on.
I'm done.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, James McFadden. Yeah, you can't just blurt out that I'll give an example. Go ahead, Dingman, though, because you just said that's what you were going to say.
The point of information was that before the pandemic, and before people could travel virtually around the way they are now, in the case of the Finance Committee, for example, in New York, you had to attend three meetings in a row to be a member. It didn't matter whether you were local, not local, or whatnot. It just was dependent on three attendances in a row.
Objection. Not a point of information.
Well, that is a point of information, because that is why, well, that's why we're having this issue to start with.
Okay. The point basically to answer McFadden's question is some stations have set the rules for committee membership that allow people to basically vote on committees for stations of which they are not a local, you know, a voting member for, you know, affiliated with for voting purposes. And so this motion would put a stop to that. So Lawrence is next. Go ahead, Lawrence.
So the Brooklyn is going to come out of me. So let me just say this. I think this is a very pathetic motion. Excuse my expression. Here we are hemorrhaging our listener base, and we're looking for ways of preventing listeners from being of service. That is a really sad state of affairs to even consider something like this. I mean, wow. Is there anything else we could come up with that's going to gag listeners from being a service, or prevent them from stepping up regardless of what signal area they are from? We are all Pacificans. So I apologize. You could take the New Yorker out of New York, but you cannot take the Brooklyn out of the New Yorker. And I just had to say that this is a very sad state of affairs type of motion. So that's all I got to say. And I will vote no.
Thanks, Susan. And then
we have people from all over the country who give no money to KPFT and participate in a lot of discussions. We do not, accept members of the public, and so they would theoretically be eligible to serve on committees. And similar with what Dingaman said, you attend three times and you can vote. Our policies and procedures say that for what we call fiduciary committees, finance and anything dealing with personnel, only LSB members can vote. But our committee members can have voting people from Timbuktu, from Kazakhstan. And there are people who load up into committees in different stations in order to sway votes according to certain, you know, policy, factional, whatever things. So it is important. We care about having
local control about local issues rather than having people from Los Angeles and Berkeley and New York coming in and voting on our critical issues. But what this does is to say, to be a voting member, you have to be from that, and it should be signal area, sorry, station. And in order to be a voting member of something that deals with personnel or with finance, you have to be an LSB member and to be in a closed session. You can be a director, a delegate, or the elected treasurer secretary. That's it.
Thanks. I hear you, Sharon. You're after Vanessa. So Jim Sagerton, then Beth. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I want to reiterate what Jim Dingman said, that this is purely a phenomenon of COVID because we're having remote meetings. You had to attend the meetings in person. I, for one, hope that we continue to have remote meetings, but this is something that needs to be cured because people from Texas were not going to attend three LSP meetings in New York in a row. Most people in Texas, I guess, you know, what are they? They're going to fly up to New York to attend three finance committee meetings to become a member. It just wasn't, a reality before. Now it is. And, I think that the, I just want to say further that, you know, for, it is true. The finance committees, there is no uniformity in how finance committees in Pacifica determine their membership, and that causes some confusion. As has been pointed out, at some stations, you have to be an LSB member to be a finance committee. In New York, if you walk in off the street three times in a row for a meeting, you can be a member. And now that we have remote meetings, we can also have members from other parts around the country who were traditional WBI listeners, which is fine with me. So, I support that part of this motion. However, the other part of the motion, I think, goes more to Lawrence's point. I don't think Lawrence wants people from Berkeley, let's say, coming down to join his finance committee meeting to try and steer policy at his station, you know, in the way that they might think it would be the way it should be remotely. But what we do want is we want people who are concerned with the station, have the station as their primary focus. In other words,
your time is up.
If I could just have 10 more seconds, Chair, to be focused on the station that you're affiliated with for voting purposes. And that allows people from anywhere who want to be affiliated with that station for voting purposes to join in. So we are seeking, we're not seeking to limit people's participation, but you know, you can't have one station say you have to be an LSB member and then have those same LSB members come to New York and say, we're going to be on your finance committee. We're going to set financial policy for your station. That's a
motion to extend the meeting until we exhaust the stack.
And I'm sure,
second, Lawrence.
Put you on notice that I have a motion or an amendment, please. Go to the rest of the stack first, please.
Teresa for the stack.
Yeah, okay. I got you, Teresa. You're after Sharon. What was that last thing you just said, Jim Sagerton, about the motion, the amendment?
I got an amendment?
Yes.
I don't know if my time is up. I don't know if you want me to do it now, but I don't want time to run out for the discussion and then be closed on making the amendment.
Yeah, I thought you already made the amendment.
I'll give up my time to him for the amendment.
It's okay. Do you mean you have a further amendment, Sagerton?
Yeah, after we get through with this one, I want
to... The voting purposes. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Beth, then Jim, then Vanessa, then Sharon, then I think it was Teresa. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you.
As long as it's to the motion, I mean, as long as it's to Sagerton's amendment, if you want to talk about the whole thing, you have to hold off.
Can you remind me specifically what this amendment is so that
to add the term for voting purposes. So do you think the for voting purposes does the trick or not?
Um, So I'm not convinced that bigger meetings are better meetings. The last year and a half at our local station board would
just you're talking to the main motion, not the amendment. I'm sorry.
What would prevent a block of people from elsewhere from swamping a committee to take over? That was touched on elsewhere. I think it's a legitimate concern. I wish that the motion addressed the issue of signal area. And I wonder, does this also include LSB members? The LSBs are committees. Can people from elsewhere who have donated there most recently also become LSB members? And again, what would prevent a local station board from being taken over by, you know, people who buy their way in? Thank you.
Jim Dingman, is it about Jim Sagerton's amendment?
And that is to the issue of the voting question locally, correct?
No, it's just adding the phrase for voting purposes to the amendment, not the whole motion, just the phrase for voting purposes.
Okay, I'll refrain.
Okay. Vanessa, is yours about for voting purposes? I'll come back to folks when we get to the main motion. Sharon, is yours about for voting purposes?
Mine is about getting some sort of a clarity on for voting purposes.
Go ahead then.
And the reason why I'm trying to get clarity is that in the previous issue that we voted on, all of us are not from that particular station, but we asked to weigh in and evaluate what they did. And so now this comes up talking about for voting purposes. And I'm wondering, is it kind of a overreach?
That's a fair question. My understanding is that the motion that we voted on before, which was about the KPFK LSB, was really, I'm sorry, what the KPFK LSB did was about a P&B level decision only. And that this motion that we're talking about now really is strictly focused on LSB committees. So different level of governance in the organization. So I think you asked a good question, right? Because it's important to understand the distinction, but I do think they are distinct. Hope that helps. Teresa, is yours about for voting purposes? Okay. Now I'm gonna ask if there are any objections to Jim Sagerton's amendment to add for voting purposes after affiliated every instance in that motion. Are there any objections? I'm sorry. Sharon objects. can we go to a roll call vote, Marion?
Yes. Take just a sec here. For voting purposes. Okay, Teresa Allen.
Allen passes.
Passes. Jim Dingman.
Yes, I'm voting for that motion.
Okay, this is for the amendment.
Hey, for the amendment. For the amendment, I vote yes.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Yeah.
Yes. But whoever's moving furniture, please mute. Thank you. Sue Goodwin. Sue Goodwin? Now you're all muted.
Just keep going, Marion.
Okay. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Evelia Jones.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
For the amendment, I say no.
Votes no. James McFadden.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Did you say no?
Yes, Secretary, I said no.
Okay, got it. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton. James Sagerton.
Yes. That was a yes. Did you hear me?
Now I do. Thank you.
Yes.
Sharon Salam.
No.
Votes no. Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark van Landuit.
Yes to the amendment.
Votes yes. Beth van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
Abstain.
Abstains. Susan Young. Susan?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, Teresa, you passed.
I say yes.
Votes yes. Are we missing any? Sue Goodwin. Is Sue Goodwin on the call? I'm getting no response. Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Limited. 15.
15 yes and 1, 2, 3 no's. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. With 15 yes and 3 no's, the amendment to the motion passes.
Please note, I believe that Marianne Martinez needs to mute.
No, it's James.
It's James Sagerton.
It's more than one person.
Fair enough.
It's your cat, Susan.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so that was item 7. So the next item 8, we're
wait,
still
in. No,
we're not finished.
The amendment to the motion has passed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you for setting me straight. I guess I want us to keep going and making good progress. That was just the amendment, right? So now we're back to the main motion as now amended. And I see a bit of a stack still, and Susan, remind me if we're getting close to time, but I see Jim Dingman, Vanessa, Jim Sagerton, and Lawrence. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
All right. In this motion, there's a statement, four committees that deal with confidential financial and or personnel matters. Only local station board delegates for the station may be voting members of the committee. Now, one of the issues is on the finance committees, what is deemed as confidential financial information, as opposed to open information, because there are members of these committees who are not local station board members, but have been elected and they have a clear affiliation with the local station. But of course, what constitutes confidential financial information in this situation? You know, the looking at the budget, the looking at what? I just raise that as a question because that seems to me a teeny bit of a glitch there. Thank you.
I don't think it's actually a glitch because I think last week we voted on a motion that came from the NFC. I don't remember all the particulars off the top of my head right now, but we, you know, said that only certain financial documents were public. So for instance, like the draft audit is not a public document, but the final audit is. I don't remember all the details, and I don't know whether somebody could pull the motion that we passed last week up, but basically, you know, if it wasn't one of the public documents, you know, then it's a confidential financial document.
All right. And I just want to add that I do indeed think it is good to have people from around the country participate in the meetings and add their opinions. Absolutely. Because we have a sort of a pan-Pacifica kind of series of problems that affect all the stations. On the other hand, to have folks come in who don't know the local situation at all and then start making policy recommendations, I think is foolish.
Thank you, Alan, for the stack.
You're after Lawrence. Vanessa's up next, then Jim Sagerton. Vanessa?
Okay, so I guess the more I listen to the discussion, the more it seems to me to be a sensible motion, because I don't understand why other people, it looks to me to try to want to vote in matters of another station other than our own would seem to me to be interference more than trying
to be fading in and out.
Sorry. Never mind. I'm in a car. Never mind. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. Jim Sagerton, then Lawrence Sagerton.
Thank you. And I want to say that I have an amendment. Is this the appropriate time?
Sure.
Okay. I want to strike that language about having to be either an LSB member, well, just about having to be an LSB member to discuss matters that are fiduciary. And the reason being, again, at WBAI, we have the secretary of our finance committee and resident of New York, longtime listener of WBAI. She votes and participates. She runs for LSB. She lives in Oklahoma, but she's a long time and still a current listener to WBAI. And this is her station. And so she votes at that station. And so, you know, we would lose the secretary of our finance committee if this came through. And, and there are other examples of people, the secretary of our LSB lives in Chicago. Again, a longtime New Yorker has just moved and, you know, but still wants to participate and be part of the, and these people have served on committees in the past. They've done, you know, good things for the station. So this is where to an earlier point that was made about this idea of shutting down input from around the country. No, we want that input. We value it. So I want to strike that in that part about fiduciary, you know, confidential fiduciary information, and also, well, that's it. Being, the requirement to be an LSB member.
I do not accept, and Mr. Sagerton has misread the motion.
Yeah. Hang on. I didn't recognize you, Susan. Let me be clear that I think the way that the only thing that the motion as now amended would prevent is, you know, sticking to the exact situation you just raised, Sagerton, the only thing I think it would do, it would not prevent the local finance committee secretary from being the secretary. It would only say that she was not a voting member of the local finance committee.
No, it doesn't.
Well, hang on. For committees that deal with confidential or personnel matters, only local station board delegates from that station may be voting members of the committee.
You're right. Sorry. But right. You're right. In confidential, it can be the elected secretary or treasurer. They can be in those meetings.
Yes. Yes.
If we wish to, if there's a motion.
Susan has jumped the sack. Just to let you know.
Yeah, okay, thank you. You know, people, it's like in my day job, I'm doing performance reviews for 10 people and I have to do it every year. And this is a very stressful time of year. And I apologize for being tired and occasionally letting my guard down in terms of noting when people jump the stack. So thank you, Lawrence, for pointing that out. I do appreciate that.
Point of information.
Was that Teresa?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Who made this motion?
Jim Sagerton made a motion to amend that has not yet been.
Who made the main motion?
Susan Young did. So.
Well, point of it. So, Ms. Madam Chair. Okay.
Go ahead. Never mind. Okay.
I'll wait my turn.
Okay.
Okay.
So what I want to, well, so hang on. There's a motion to amend on the floor that has yet to be seconded. And so,
I will second it. Lawrence seconds.
Okay, so that means we have to deal with it. I was hoping to apologize, but I was hoping to squash it. Okay, so there's a motion to amend that says we would take out Jim Sagerton, you're going to have to restate this, that only local station boards, I mean, are we getting rid of that whole paragraph? I don't understand what the part we would take out that would resolve the situation you were trying to resolve in New York.
I apologize.
Your secretary.
I do not see the language in front of me, but as it was read, it was that you reread that said to be a voting member of the committee, you have to be,
Yes. Let me read it again. For committees that deal with confidential financial and or personnel matters, only LSV delegates for that station may be voting members of the committee. And then there's another clause that has to do with who can participate in executive session of those committees.
Yeah, so yes, I want to strike that language because it upends, 20 years of tradition at WBAI of having other people besides LSB members on our finance committee. Some of our longest term and, most contributing members are not members of the LSB.
Okay. So in other words, you really do want to strike. Okay.
I don't care. I realize other students do have that requirement. That's their right.
But you want to strike the whole paragraph or just the part having to do with being on the committee?
Just the part about they have to be LSB members to be on the committee.
Okay. So then there's the other part, the second half of that paragraph says, and only delegates of the LSB, PMB directors, and or the local station board, secretary or treasurer may participate in or hear any proceedings of any executive session. So that, what? That does further.
Point of
so you want to get rid of the whole paragraph.
Point of information, I apologize, but anyone can participate in the committee. Anyone. It is voting membership is LSB's and ability to be in the confidential stuff is LSB's directors and the elected secretary treasurers. But anyone can be on those committees and participate. No restriction.
Chair.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay. I just want to remind us all that a request for information is a question. It's not to add information. So please, thank you, Susan. But here we are, the other speeds and its members of the other speeds, a lot of them don't participate in committees. I would say half of the 24 on the LSBs do not participate in committees. I know it's different for a lot of local station boards. I know KPFK has a lot of listeners that are participating in committees. We call them the public. But here we are in a financial crisis, losing our listener base all over the place, and we're looking at ways of siloing ourselves, protecting our territories, right, and reducing membership, reducing committee membership. I once heard this argument that the James Byrd Society would take over if we provided waivers to listeners that did not have the means to pay the $25. And yet, here I am almost 40 years later, and the James Byrd Society has not creeped upon us. Maybe some are members of the James Byrd Society, and what society I'm talking about. So again, we are not going to be taken over, folks. We need John Birch. Thank you, James Birch. I'm thinking the James, all the James here. It's the John Birch Society. So we are not going to be taken over, folks. That is complete fear-mongering. Fear-mongering, please stick to the facts and to the principles of the bylaws.
All right. Beth and James McFadden. Beth. and keep it going, people.
Teresa?
Try to be as quick
I think
as
I should be on the staff.
I got you, Teresa. Sorry, you. Go ahead. Beth. We can't hear you, Beth.
Sorry, I have to flip through screens to get to between the agenda and the mute button. I'm going to raise the issue of signal areas again, and that it's not that we don't like people from elsewhere. It's not that they can't be helpful people, but I think direction and determination and control of our local stations needs to belong in local hands, because I've raised the issue since I got to the LS, since I was first elected to Pacifica Governance, and what the pushback I get is that, well, we're living in the age of the internet now, and so everybody can be from anywhere, and what that does is that it dilutes, if we just throw all those distinctions out, then we end up with no local news, which is what's happening now, because all the programmers direct their programming to not just a local audience or a national, but the global audience, and you lose local news, and you lose local focus if we allow people from elsewhere to take part in governance purely because they can over digital devices. Then that's where their priority is going to be, and supporting the actual broadcast medium per se, which is how we define ourselves. That's what our licenses are based on. Then that's lost in the shuffle. And so that's enough for now.
Chair, point of information, please. I think this is a point of information before someone says it's not.
For info is a question. Sorry.
Okay, there you go. Request. That's it. Request for info. So, my question is, given Beth's statement, how does she accommodate Sagredin's concern?
Shall I respond?
Go ahead. Quickly.
Mr. Sagredin and I have a difference on this. I appreciate his interest in continuing to include those who have worked with their committees for so long and honoring their dedication over time. But we have people also from elsewhere who want to stand, want to run, want controlling interest, really, ultimately. If they may not be from blocks now, some of them may. And I think it's important that local stations be empowered and protected to support local interests. It's not as if we can't find nice people, helpful people everywhere. Certainly within our listener area, there should be more than enough people to fill whatever positions we need. So,
Chair.
We have an honest disagreement on this, Mr. Sagredin and I. Go ahead. Thank you.
Chair, request for information. Just one more question. How is local being defined?
The local is being defined as voting from, the station for which you were a member for voting purposes. So it doesn't matter where you live. It's you gave money to that station, and that's the station whose LSB delegates you're allowed to vote for. At such time as we're able to pay for elections.
So doesn't that accommodate Sagredin's concern? If that's how local is defined, it would not kick his people
out. No, what Sagredin's saying is that, that on the WBAI Finance Committee, they have a secretary who is not of the local finance committee, the secretary, who is not a delegate of the LSB, and this motion would prevent that. And that's why he's amending it to strike that entire paragraph.
Okay, thank you.
Because it doesn't make sense to strike the first half of the paragraph without striking the whole paragraph. So James McFadden's next.
Let me just say, Madam Chair, we are multiple times at time.
Okay. So I need a motion to extend, or we need to.
Motion to extend to source of stack.
Okay, the stack is just for informational purposes. The stack is James McFadden, Teresa Allen, Jim Sagerton. Is there a second to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of three?
Yes.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend? Hearing none. We're extended for those three. McFadden.
I think I understand Mr. Sagerton's concern. What I don't understand is since this is confidential financial personal matters, and you know, for those kinds of meetings, it seems like you want to have people who are LSB members who have a loyalty to the body to be involved in things with confidential and financial personal matters with something to lose if they actually violate those confidential. You know, they could sign an NDA, but they, if they're not a member of the LSB, they have nothing to lose by violating them. So in a way, you know, I understand his dilemma. The dilemma is, you know, in his particular case, but I don't like the idea of having people who are not LSB members, who've not signed an NDA, dealing with confidential financial and personal matters. That just seems like you're setting yourself up. You know, no matter how, you know, great that one person is, you've kind of made an exception that could lead to problems down the line. And, you know, so I just, I'm a bit concerned about that. I mean, maybe he gets an NDA from that person, but, you know, it becomes a concern anyway. That's why, so I'm going to, vote against this amendment.
I said, Teresa, you're up to myself.
Teresa.
But we can't hear you yet, Teresa.
Star six, Teresa. Star six to unmute.
Teresa? Maybe she stepped away. We'll come back to her, Jim Sagerton.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to respond to a couple of things. I think we're conflating two issues here. Maybe we're not all doing it, but it seems like the issues are getting a little confused. So one is the issue of does a person need to be inside the local area regionally, geographically speaking? And again, I've already made my point about how, you know, people who are from New York and then go elsewhere, in fact, in respectful contradiction to what Beth said, they are listening for local news. That's what they want. They're hailing back and harking back to their, time when they were a listener of WBAI and they were in the area. And now with the computer, they can continue that no matter where they are. So they are zooming in there for, I should say, for local news and other such things. And the other thing is this other issue about the confidential personnel and financial, you know, fiduciary kind of responsibilities. Those are not talked about, or they shouldn't be talked about, on finance committees pretty much anyway, because only directors are supposed to have access to personnel issues, questions, information. Only actually,
this,
you know,
is Teresa back in the meeting.
The total number of the gross amount of salaries at the station, but they're not supposed to know individuals' salary information. So most of that is covered. It's for a director, and local finance committees are made up of some people who are directors and some people who aren't. But you don't deal with the confidential stuff with the people who aren't directors. That's not the forum for it. And
Jim, your time is up.
We have just recently, as we know, we've got the new NDA agreement, and we have asked the people on the audit committee, some of whom are not even LSB members, they're members of the public, to sign that in order to review the management letter. And in the finance committee, the National Finance Committee, the treasurers who are not directors and who formerly were not eligible to see confidential information about salary lines and such, we've gotten them to sign NDAs as well, And so that covers us on that. And when you think that, well, someone who signed an NDA,
Jim,
who's not a member, doesn't have anything to lose, well, okay, if they're not on the LSB, they don't have that to lose, but they have their membership on the committee to lose. So that if they're interested enough and involved enough to want to participate in a committee, they don't want to lose that. So I think there is still that barrier there. And I apologize. I may have just gone over time. I apologize if I did.
Chair, I have a point of order, just a correction, if I may. On the audit committee, there are no members of the public. They're all LSB members, delegates, or directors.
No, okay, so hang on. That was not a point of order. That was a correction. The point of order is like a Robert's Rules violation. How am I doing, Mr. Tatum?
You're doing great.
Thank you. I appreciate the correction there, Lawrence. I agree that there's a big difference between we have our, you know, beefed up NDA that we have asked delegates who serve on PMB committees, to sign, and including treasurers. But that does not extend to LSB committees, right? So, we don't have any authority, or we have not passed any kind of motion that says that, you know, to serve on a local finance committee, you have to sign an NDA. So, I believe Teresa is back on the call, and,
is it possible to call on for the vote?
So, Egberto, I have to recognize you, and I recognize Teresa.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can I ask James Sagerton to mute?
You can. Thank you. And he appears to be muted now. Go ahead, Teresa.
We have groups at our station, like our Outreach Committee and our Development Committee, and they're really subcommittees, okay? The LSB is a committee, and these committees are subcommittees. And, you know, I don't mind people coming on those committees because what they pass needs to go through the LSB anyway. But I hope that this main motion stops people from being on committees on all the different stations. It seems like some people are being invited to be on committees to kind of stack the committee, and that's just really not right. It's not healthy. I can appreciate James Sagerton inviting someone in to give a report on a committee, but if this leaves this door open for people from active at one station to be on committees of another, I just don't think that's healthy, and I think that we need to get consistent rules
People
can participate,
Teresa,
at their station. Thank you.
Okay. So I want to remind everybody, and I'm sorry if I'm losing patience, but I want to remind everybody that what's on the floor right now is Jim Sagerton's motion to amend to drop the last paragraph from this. It is not the entire motion that's on the floor. It is the part that drops the last paragraph. So,
Chair Pernikovich, I'm on the phone now. Caller in user one, so you may want to be naming. Thank you, Chair.
No, we got you. Okay.
Point of information, McFadden.
It's a request for information.
Request for information.
Go ahead.
It's a question. Are local station board committees allowed to have executive sessions?
I don't think there's anything in our bylaws that prevents that.
Okay.
So the point we're at now is we're not even at the main motion. We are at the motion to amend that drops the whole last paragraph. So what would be in there would be only the part that says to be a voting member of a committee, you have to be affiliated for voting purposes with that station, to be a voting member of a local station board committee, period. So that's all. So if you vote yes for the amendment, that's where the motion stops. Okay. Where the then amended main motion would stop. Voting no means you want that extra paragraph in there that says you have to be you know, to vote on basically fiduciary things, you have to be a delegate. Okay. Are there any objections to Sagerton's motion to amend?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I only need one. Marion, can we go to a roll call vote on the motion to amend?
Okay. And this one is the amendment is dropping the final paragraph.
Dropping the final paragraph. Exactly.
Drop final paragraph. Okay. Teresa Allen.
No.
Votes no. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Yes. Sue Goodwin. I'm not hearing anything. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes. Donna Grimes.
I'm here, but fading fast.
How do you choose to vote?
I'm going to pass.
You pass, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Evelia Jones.
Yes.
Did you say pass?
I did. Well, yes, that is coming back, right? Yes.
Okay. Ali Lexa.
No.
Votes no. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Votes no. James McFadden.
No. And Mr. Sagerton, please mute.
Votes no. Darlene Pagano.
I am muted on my end. I don't know why you're hearing me.
Darlene, did you say no?
I said no.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam.
Yes.
Votes yes. Aki Tanaka.
No.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you.
No. Can you hear? No.
Did I hear no?
Yes. No.
Correct.
No. Got it.
Yeah.
Mark von Landert.
No.
Votes no. Beth von Gunten.
No.
Votes no. Egberto Willis.
No.
Votes no. Susan Young.
No.
Votes no. Let's see. Donna Grimes, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Evelia Jones, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
I will vote no.
Vote no. Okay. I think I've got everybody. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 no votes. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
You will abstain. So with 7 yes votes and 11 no votes, the amendment fails.
All right. So now we are back at the main motion. Basically, as amended originally, which was to add the for voting purposes after affiliated. So it reads, the main motion reads as it does on the agenda, with the exception of adding for voting purposes. So I'd like to see if there are any objections to the main motion.
Can you just read it out so that we'll hear it again?
Okay, sure thing. All right, let me see if I can do this right. Whereas persons not affiliated for voting purposes with the community linked to a station enter into local decision-making by joining committees of local station boards that are not their primary affiliation for voting purposes. Now, therefore, be it resolved that only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. For committees that deal with confidential financial and or personnel matters, only local station board delegates for that station may be voting members of the committee, and only delegates of that LSB, PNB directors, and a duly elected and then serving local station board secretary and or local station board treasurer may participate in or hear the proceedings of any executive session. Okay, having read the motion, are there any objections to the motion as amended?
Yes.
Was that an objection?
Yes.
Okay. Marion, can we go to a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Hang on. I'm losing track of myself here. Okay, there are objections. So the underlying motion. Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Votes yes. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Abstain.
Abstains. Donna Grimes. Donna Grimes? Actually, I missed Heather Gray. I'm sorry. Heather Gray.
I'm passing.
Passes. Okay, now Donna Grimes, are you there?
I'm here. I'm passing.
Passing. Okay. Evelia Jones.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam. Sharon?
No.
Votes no. Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark van Landage.
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Okay. Heather Gray, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
I vote yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes, you passed. How do you choose to vote? Donna?
I'm here. I have to abstain.
Abstain.
Mm-hmm.
Are we missing anybody else? I think we're good. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 yes. We have one no. The motion as amended passes.
Okay, so it's 10:35.
I forgot to ask Julie, how do you choose to vote?
It's okay, I was going to abstain.
I figured.
okay, so we are, it's 10:36 on the East Coast. We have one more motion that was on the open session agenda, which in principle is a 5-minute item. Although I thought the last item was a 15-minute item, and clearly it was not. And we have a lot of stuff that we have to do in closed session. I would
motion to go into closed session and postpone whatever that item is until the next meeting.
I second.
Thank you, Jim Dingaman, for the second. any objections to Susan's motion to postpone item 8 and go to item 9, which is retiring to an executive session? Hearing no objections, we are retiring to executive session. Mr. Tatum, is retiring the correct word?
No, just simply moving to go into executive session.
Moving to go into, okay. Yeah, I'll get that right next time.